It's a Good Life, coming to you from Central Baptist Church, located at 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
Welcome once again to It's a Good Life. Well, today we want to continue our study in a bird's eye view, a study of the New Testament. And our study today will be in the book of 2 John. Well, last time we met, we looked at the study of 1 John. Well, let me remind you of a couple of things here about the one who penned down this book of 1 John. He was John, the son of Zebedee. He was the apostle of Jesus, and according to John chapter 19, in verse 26 and 27, he was loved in a special way. Well, that's not that he was loved above any of the other apostles, but there was a special bond for John towards our Savior and with our Savior. John was the last apostle alive and wrote to combat heresy, the teaching of the group called the Gnostics, which spread false doctrine. Well, now he writes to set the record straight as he walked and talked with Jesus for years. He had an intimate knowledge of relationship with the Lord. He was with him as other apostles were, and he was very well able and capable of writing about our Savior. He could refute false teaching with eyewitness accounts. Well, John saw with his own eyes. Well, now, when we think of this, we see in the books of John, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, how that John writes to combat heresy and teach about love and provide assurance of salvation. Well, last time we looked in the book of 1 John, and 1 John chapter 5 and verse 13, it says, "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God." In this verse, we see the assurance of salvation, the assurance that Jesus saves, and once you're saved, we have eternal life. Well, if that was the only thing that John had written in the books and to Christians, this would be something that should be burned in the heart of every born-again child of God. He said, "I've written these things for those people who have been saved, who have trusted the Lord, the Son of God." He says that you may know that you have eternal life. Now, we have eternal life, and that life comes only through and by our Lord Jesus Christ. We're saved by the blood of Christ. Well, John is saying that that's the only way you can be saved, and because you have been saved, you have eternal life, never-ending life, and that life comes through only through Jesus Christ. Well, today, as we look in the book of 2 John, we've seen some things, and I've already mentioned to you that John is the son of Zebedee. And in verse 1 of 2 John, it says, "The elder unto the elect lady and her children, whom I love in the truth, and not I only, but also all they that have known the truth." Well, now the elect lady, we see that in verse 13 of this book. The elect sister was possibly the church from which John was writing. The sister of the elect lady, that we see here in 2 John in the first verse. Well, some people get this mixed up, and verse 13 says, "The children of thy elect sister greet thee. Amen." Well, I believe here it's speaking about the churches, but if you believe it's a certain individual, that's all right. You need to study it as I've studied it and as others have studied it, and there's nothing wrong with having a disagreement with some of these aspects of the book. In other words, this is something that does not make or disprove a certain doctrine of the book of 2 John. So if there's a disagreement, if someone says, "Well, I believe it's to a specific person," or from a specific person. The elect sister is seen in verse 13. That's perfectly all right. But I believe that it's speaking about two different churches here. Well, the date of the writing of this book of 2 John was around 90 through 95 AD. And it was before the persecution of Domitian, the Roman emperor. The setting of the book is it's written to beloved brethren whom John knew personally, and probably from Ephesus, where John had worked. Well, I believe that we can see a couple of key verses here in 2 John, verses 9 and 10. It says, "Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed." Well, we'll look at that further in just a few moments. Well, the theme here seems to be, first, to avoid fellowship with false teachers. Second, and once again, 2 John chapter 7, and 2 John verse 7, 9, and 10 talk about this, about the false teachers. Let's look primarily now, first of all, at false teachers. Who are the false teachers that John is speaking of here? Well, I see, first of all, in verse 7, how that John is saying that these are those who deny the deity of Jesus. Verse 7 says, "For many deceivers are entered into the world, who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist." We see there are those today who would possibly have you believe that they have a legitimate church. They would have you believe that they are very religious and that they have the way of life, the truth. And once again, this is, I'm just simply saying they say this. It's quote unquote that I'm saying here. They believe they have the truth. John tells us here that there are many deceivers like this in the world, even back then. They confess not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. These are deceivers. These are people who are against our Lord. They have said that the blood of Christ is of none effect. They do away with the blood of Christ by saying, "We do not want to hear anything about the blood because it's creepy." Well, the Bible says without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. We must understand that it was through the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord that we are saved by trusting that. The person who gave his life for us, who was buried, and who rose again, and who is now living with the Father in heaven. We believe that. And the Bible says that those who have believed that have passed from death unto life. And if anybody comes to you and says anything different from that, the Bible says they are false teachers. They are deceivers. What else does John say about these people? These people do not teach Christ. In verse 9, it says, "Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son." Well, I would simply say that those people who do not preach or teach the gospel as I've already mentioned, the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord, the gospel, the good news that Christ came into the world, gave his life for us, for the world, for the people of this world, if they would simply trust in him. That is the gospel. And these people who are deceivers, they tell you different. Now, people who are trusting in the Lord, they have the truth because they believe the truth. But these deceivers, they say there is no salvation in Jesus Christ, that he is not God. Well, what else does John say? He says that people are not to participate in the deeds of false teachers. Verse 10 talks about that, about receiving them into your house. Now the house spoken of here, now let me read that verse in verse 10. "If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine." What doctrine? The doctrine of Christ. He goes on to say, if they come to you, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. Now receiving them or him into your house, the house spoken of here could possibly be speaking of a church that John was writing to, the house. They were meeting in a house. And no false teachers to be allowed to teach in the church. And I believe, or they are not allowed to teach in the believer's home. We have a tendency as Christians sometimes to want to take on the world. The old saying is, we charge hell with a squirt gun. We think that we are able to combat the heresy and these false teachers by sometimes inviting them into our homes and sitting down with them and trying to explain to them the Bible, trying to convince them. Well, the Bible is very plain here. You see, the devil sets traps for us as Christians. He would have us believe that we're so smart that we can convince some of these people that they're wrong, and thank God that some of them do get saved. But the only way a person gets saved, and let me remind you, is by proclaiming the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Do not think that you are smarter than God. Do not think that you are smarter than the Holy Spirit, who has to be the one who presents the Word of God and place it in the heart of that individual you're dealing with. I do not believe that we are to invite these people into our homes or bid them Godspeed. In other words, have a good day. Well, I do not believe that we need to pronounce a blessing on these people who are deceivers and they teach heresy. According to 2 John verse 4, we're to abide in God's commandments. It says there we are to walk in truth. John says, I rejoiced greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth, as we have received a commandment from the Father. He says, walk in truth. And then we see in verse 5 that we are to love one another. John says, and now I beseech thee, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment unto thee, but that which we had from the beginning, that we love one another. Well, we're to walk in truth, and we're to love one another, and we're to abide in the teaching of Christ. Verse 9 talks about that, and we've already read that verse. Well, what are some of the lessons we can learn? First, we're to distinguish true teachers from false teachers. 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 through 3, it says this, Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are going out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. See, we are to distinguish true teachers from false teachers. Abide in the doctrine, John says. The doctrine of Christ is all the teachings of Christ. Do you know Him today as your Savior? If you've never trusted Him as your Savior, you need to invite Him into your heart. Ask Jesus to save you today. Get serious with Him, and He'll get serious with you.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.